All right, this afternoon, if you'd please take your Bible and open to the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse number 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse number 1. And here the Bible says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And we'll stop reading there. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the good food we had for the meal today. Thank you also for the spiritual food now that we can feast upon. And we ask, Lord, that you will work in our hearts and lives and remind us what our number one assignment is while we live on this earth. Please, Lord, help me as I speak and help all of us as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have, as I mentioned this morning, finished celebrating the birth of our Savior. And, of course, we've been left here after we got saved to be a light and a testimony to other people. The verses that we read here concerning the disciples, as Jesus is ascending up into heaven, one of the things he told them, of course, is that they have an assignment, and their assignment is to be witnesses for our Lord in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Thinking about something I said just a few moments ago, before the offering was received, it's hard to believe that we're already at the end of this year. And we have right in front of us, just a couple of days, 2025. My wife and I were speaking about this together a little bit ago. And do you remember when the calendar year was going to turn over to 2000? And do you remember all the panic and scare that people were in concerning the year 2000? You know, all of our computers are going to go down because they're only, you know, set up until 1999, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. And we knew of families that, you know, today they call them preppers, I guess, but they had all kinds of food and canned goods and water and all that, and they kind of had a shelter, and they were all, you know, holed up in their shelter as the clock turns over and so forth. And I was so tempted to call this one family in particular the next day and ask them, you know, how things were going, but I didn't. But anyway, the reason I bring that up is because that was 25 years ago. Isn't that weird?
Yes, weird.
25 years ago, that was going on. Well, the lid's going to stay down there for now. No, just leave it. Time passes so quickly, doesn't it? All these years that went by, I think about the years that I've been here. It's hard to believe that it's been 16 years. We're working our 17th year already. And come next September, that means I will have been here as long as Pastor Mickelson was here. That was one of my goals, by the way, when I came. to try to reach that 17-year mark and, God willing, surpass that. So that's kind of what I'm looking forward to. But anyway, time passes so quickly, and the years just seem to keep flipping by. It's kind of like that story I've told a couple of you that it's not original with me, but it's kind of like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it seems to go. And that's the way it is with our years and our time also. The older we get, the faster it seems to go. And again, it's hard to believe that we're already at the end of 2024. But the reason I bring that up is because the thing I'd like for us all to remember is that our mission remains the same. Our assignment remains the same, no matter what year it is. No matter if we're young or old, no matter if we're near the beginning of our life or near the end of our life, our assignment as a believer remains the same. And the assignment is to be a witness for our Lord and Savior, to try to tell someone else about salvation, to try to get someone else to receive Jesus as their personal Savior. So a couple of things I want to share with you, and I probably won't be very long today, but I want you to know that the assignment carries a well-defined task. The assignment carries a well-defined task. If you notice here in our text, in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, can you see the disciples asking this? Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. In other words, I'm not going to share it with you. It's only up to the Father to know this, and his timetable is going to be worked out according to what he wants to happen. But here's what he said in verse 8. But, even though it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Think about what the Lord is saying to his disciples. Don't worry about those future things. Concern yourself with right now and your assignment. And your assignment is to be a witness for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. That well-defined task is also our well-defined task. All right? Doesn't matter what year it is. Doesn't matter how old we are. They, the disciples, were thinking about, you know, Israel and being released from Rome's tyranny and all that kind of stuff. Jesus is trying to get them to focus in on, don't worry about Rome. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about the kingdom that's coming. Just concentrate on giving the message of salvation to anyone who will listen. To anyone who will listen. The assignment, of course, is a responsibility. The assignment is not a privilege or something really to be taking or not taking. It's not a suggestion. This is a responsibility. See, a privilege is something that's optional. An assignment or a responsibility is not anything that you can choose to do or not to do, all right? It's a command from the Lord Jesus to those who are his disciples, which would include you and me, all right? You can see something similar to chapter 1, verse 8. You can see something similar to that in each one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The assignment that was given to them, a well-defined task, their response, Jesus' response to their question was to be a witness for him in all those areas, all right? The assignment that we are called to be involved in has to do with our personal experience with Jesus, all right? You can't be a witness to something that you were not party to, okay? If here in this intersection of B and Williams Drive, there was a horrible accident, okay? Even if it wasn't horrible. Let's just say an accident on this intersection out here. But I was in Madison running some errands. Okay? And the police later, after I got home, came and knocked on the door and said, you know, this accident out here that happened just a little while ago, can you tell me what happened? Well, let me ask you. Can I tell them what happened? No, because I didn't witness it. I didn't see it. I certainly didn't experience it. I was miles away in Madison running errands, okay? So you think about being a witness for the Savior. You and I can't really be a witness unless we've experienced something with Him. And because we have experienced something with Him, we have this responsibility to tell others about it. If you know Him, if you walk with Him, if you read His Word, if you talk with Him, if He talks with you, if you have this relationship with Jesus, you should be able to be a witness for your Savior. And I would encourage all of us to get involved in this, because this assignment was given in response to a question. This assignment is a responsibility, not a privilege. This assignment calls upon our experience with Jesus. This assignment also is timeless. Remember I mentioned before about another year coming up? It doesn't really matter what year it is. The assignment's the same. All right? I got saved in 73. The assignment was the same back then as it is now. Okay? If we move ahead, let's say another 10 years, the assignment will still be the same. To be a witness for our Savior. It is for any and every day that we are alive. Once we're dead, of course. Do you ever think about this? When you're dead and you go to heaven, you'll never be able to witness to someone again. There's no soul winning in heaven. There's no witnessing in heaven. It's only here on earth. It's only here with people that we know. And we are supposed to be a witness for our Savior. So this assignment was given in response to a question. It is a responsibility, not a privilege. We're all called upon to be a witness of what we experience with Christ. It's a timeless assignment. And then the assignment is also a universal assignment. And what I mean by that is it's not just for pastors. It's not just for Sunday school teachers. It's for everybody who's a Christian. Everybody who's born again, not just a few of us, but all of us, we are supposed to be a witness for our Savior. So this is the point number one. The assignment carries a well-defined task. Second main point. The assignment also carries a field of operation. A field of operation. You notice here in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both." Look at this. Both. Not one at a time, but all at the same time. "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Question for you, just to think about your Bible knowledge and so forth. This was given in chapter 1. In just a few chapters, they're going to experience persecution, which will scatter them throughout that area. Some will stay in Jerusalem, but a lot of them will be scattered throughout the area. Do you know why the persecution came? Because they weren't fulfilling what this verse said. They were staying in Jerusalem. And by the way, the church was growing larger and larger and larger and larger. I read one time that the church at Jerusalem at one time may have been as big as 50,000. That's huge. Now, I can't verify that. But the point I'm trying to make here is that they weren't really doing what the Lord asked them to do. They were staying in one locality. And what the Lord wanted them to do was, witness in Jerusalem, but also Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. So to help them fulfill that, persecution came and sent many of them out of Jerusalem to those other areas. The field of operation is our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and our uttermost parts of the world. That means that we cannot stay within the four walls of this church. We're supposed to go outside the four walls of this church. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for our church and the people and the services and all that. But we're supposed to get out there and talk to someone else. Tell others about Jesus. That's the assignment, and that's the field of operations. You see, the gospel is to be shared with others. Shared with others. Not kept for ourselves, but shared with others. John 3:16. You know the verse. "For God so loved the world." Just think. Not just you. "Well, I'm saved now, so it's all settled, and that's good enough." No? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You really can't, if you're a church, you really can't justify your existence if you're not witnessing to others. If you're not carrying the gospel message to other people, you really can't justify your existence as a church. Because that's why we're here. To be a witness to others. To tell someone else about Jesus. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. In order to justify our existence, it means we have to try to reach our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and our uttermost parts of the world. All at the same time. So, that's why we have to support missionaries, right? And that's why we have to be a witness wherever we go and leave tracts and talk to people about the Lord and so forth. The assignment is given to us as the followers of the Lord Jesus, and every one of us need to do our part. The more of us who do our part, the more we'll be able to accomplish. This is our number one assignment. So, point number one, the assignment carries a well-defined task. Number two, the assignment carries a field of operations. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost. Last point. Told you I wouldn't be long. Point number three. The assignment also carries a divine promise. A well-defined task, a field of operations, and a divine promise. The promise of this assignment is one of power and blessing. If you notice again, especially verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Please put yourself in this passage, would you? And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Let me just pause here and ask you this. Can you see yourself doing that? I can see myself doing that. If Jesus is in front of me and he gives me this assignment, and then all of a sudden a cloud receives him up out of my sight, I would watch until I could see him no more. I think I would be one of those disciples doing exactly that. I would be one of those that the angel would say, "What are you doing here? Staring up into the sky. Go back and go do what I ask you to do." So verse 11, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Do you want the Lord to come back? I do. I'm anxious for him to come back. You think he's going to come back before the last person gets saved that's going to get saved, or right after? Probably right after, right? No, I don't know who that is. I don't know who's left to get saved and who's going to be that last one right before the rapture. I have no idea who that is. But if you want to hasten his return, how about telling someone else about Jesus? Because whoever that last one is that gets saved before the rapture, the sooner that person gets saved, the sooner the rapture takes place. You get my point, right? We need to be telling others. Now, again, I've mentioned this several times recently. Not everybody's going to want it. There are some folks that won't be interested whatsoever. And that's their choice. You know, early on in my Christian walk, I'd get discouraged by that. But not so much anymore, because they have a right to make their own decision. And I can't force them and shouldn't try to force them to make the decision. It's their choice. But if they choose not to, they choose not to. That doesn't mean I didn't do it right, or I failed, or, you know, I'm not successful. It doesn't mean that at all. How many folks do you think the disciples talked to that didn't want it? I bet there was a bunch. How many folks did Jesus talk to that didn't want it? Many. Yeah, there was a bunch. So if the disciples and Jesus didn't get everybody saved they talked to, what makes us think we will? We won't, just like they didn't. But some will. And that's why we have this assignment. So the promise is found in the assignment of one of power, and of course blessing, because others will get saved and join our number. This power and this blessing is enabling from above. It's enabling from within, God the Holy Spirit living within us. It's enabling power of God's presence and God's blessing. God gives that to us as we witness. If you're waiting for the power and then you're going to witness, you're going to wait a long time. But if you're expecting the power as you witness, it'll be there. It's kind of like, you know I'm not going to die yet because I don't have dying grace. Dying grace will be there when I need it. Same thing is true when it comes to God's power to be a witness. Don't wait for the power and then be a witness. Be a witness and expect the power to be there, because it will be there. Jesus' followers received and acted upon that power, and because of that, they were able to see. And you know this about the church at Jerusalem in the early chapters of the book of Acts. There were many, many, many getting saved. You remember that. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, and then a little bit later, another 5,000. And a little bit later, it says the number of the disciples multiplied. You know, this church was really going great guns at one time because they were witnessing. They were doing their assignment, okay? So my encouragement to all of us today is we need to ask and seek and knock that God would give us those opportunities and that witnessing availability and power and so forth. We must be ready to allow God to use us. We must act upon this assignment and his promise. And then, of course, and I hope you'll say, take this in the right way, and I mean this in the right way, we need to expect it. We need to expect it. If your attitude is, well, I knew it wouldn't happen. Oh, what a terrible attitude that is. But rather, expect it to happen. Expect to be given opportunities. Expect that as you talk with individuals, some will listen and get saved. Expect that there'll be others that will join us, even right here. You know, expect that. I don't know how you do on Sundays, but we pray that, of course, we pray every day of the week for our church to grow and others to join us here and so forth. And I mean this sincerely. Every Sunday and even Wednesdays, I expect new faces to walk through those doors. I really do. I expect it. Now, it doesn't always happen, but I, like today, we had a visitor, and I was happy for that. That was an answer to prayer. And we've had some other visitors recently, too. And, of course, along the way, some will decide to stay, but we should expect it, okay? All of us should. So we're talking this afternoon about the believer's number one assignment, and it's basically to be a witness. This assignment carries a well-defined task, carries a field of operation, and also carries a divine promise. Aren't you glad that God is with us in this? Yeah, we're not doing this alone. He's with us as we do this. Let's close in a word of prayer, okay? Father, thank you for this opportunity that we've had to be together. I realize the message wasn't all that long, but I hope it's been an encouragement to everybody. And I do pray that you help us, all of us, myself included, to be the best witness for you that we possibly can, not worrying so much about results, but being concerned more with the witness part of it, because the results are up to you, and we need to remember that too. Bless us as we do witness for you, Lord. Use us as we witness for you, and may this church family right here grow, not only in numbers, but even in spirituality, and always be what you want it to be. Bless us now as we close. In Jesus' name, amen.